Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me all the way from New York City, Mr. David Paxton. And David, we are going to do things a little bit differently today.
Love and love different, right?
Yeah, because we're going to ask or we're going to answer some questions that the audience gave us. These coming in on a very recent episode to do with the rapture. And by the way, we're going to have a full, I think we need a full show on the rapture. I talked to a couple of them. I sent a message and said, you know, we really do need to do a show on the rapture, pre, mid, post. And there's another one out there. I can't even remember the name of it.
And,
you know, but anyway, we're going to break it all down again and let you guys know why pre-trib is the trib, you know? So anyway, yeah.
Well, that's another year long study on the rapture alone.
Yeah. And we already have you doing Wednesday or I'm sorry, midweeks. I shouldn't say Wednesday because it's not even on a Wednesday. But anyway, we do a midweek study verse by verse. And right now we're in Genesis 1:3. So anyway, you guys can tune in for that. But this is a new show. It is also our end of the week show. So we'll get a lot of that out of the way early. And then we will get to the questions and answers. I think you guys are really going to enjoy that because we're going to address some stuff like the rapture and like AI, all that kind of good stuff. It's all going to be coming up here. But first of all, play this for you. This from the great state of Texas. Listen to this one.
Texas responds to the immigration challenges at the southern border by constructing a new military base in Eagle Pass.
Governor Greg Abbott announces the development aimed at accommodating National Guard members deployed to address border issues. The military facility, set for completion by mid-April, will feature a 300-bed capacity, with plans to add 300 more beds each month. Lawrence Keller reporting.
You know, Texas has basically shut down the southern border as far as Texas is concerned. Instead of getting thousands across every day, it's now down to a trickle, and they are all moving, and they're going to California, and Gavin Newsom can put up with them. And I bet he starts busing them, too, and I don't think it's going to take him long to do it, because we've been bombarded for years. Now it's everybody else's turn to get them. That's my opinion. What do you think, David?
Oh, that's a good one. And you're going to have to do the I'm a radio broadcaster and I'm entitled to my opinion right now because I'm about to go somewhere. So go ahead.
Go ahead. All right. Go right ahead. Yeah. Okay. This is David Paxton's constitutionally protected opinion about the border crisis. Go ahead.
Yep. As a matter of a member of the U.S. Press Association. Okay. So
are you a member now? Did you finally get signed up? Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. So here's a food for thought. Okay. Number one, they want everybody to come in because I can tell you right here in New York City, it's about to blow up because not only are they everywhere, it's not just innocent people that are coming over looking for asylum.
Right.
These guys are, you know, they're causing chaos. They're attacking the cops. Okay. And one thing about New York City, the cops are actually cool here. Unlike most places in the United States, and it doesn't mean yours, so don't worry about it. But most places, cops are tough guys and they just want to harass people. In New York City, they're not. Okay. They're really, you know, looking out for, even if you did something wrong, they're kind of like, all right, hey, let's just get this done. And they're really cool, actually. So kudos to NYPD. But that being the case, now all these illegals are starting to attack the police. So because the cops are, you know, people like them here, there's going to be a blow up. And, you know, the police are limited in what they're allowed to do because everyone's got their eyes on them and the videos, and they get sued every time they turn around and try and do something. But the people don't have that leash on them, and it's a, you know, it's about to blow up, and I can hear the scuttlebutt for you old folks that that, you know, it's about to go down where we're just not going to take it anymore. They're taking over the hotels. They're coming into all the neighborhoods. Now they're just breaking into the houses to take what they want. So it's, you know, it's going to come down. Even the libtards are, they're going to be like, okay, we don't want them breaking into our house, so we have to do something.
Right.
So it's starting to shift, and there's a very, very high percentage of a conservative attitude towards illegal immigrants now, particularly with all the immigrants that we have here. Okay. New York City is known for, I mean, just in Queens, there's 365 languages spoken.
Wow. Wow.
Now, they've all come here legally for the most part. Okay. So all the people that spent years trying to get their ITINs and their citizenship and working hard and going through all the ropes are extremely upset. Need I say, ticked off these people that they just let in. And not only do that, but they're giving them money, they're giving them food, and they're giving them housing and medical care for free.
Yeah.
So those are the ones that are more ticked off than even the people who were born and raised here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so it's about to blow up. Yeah. But consider this real quick. I needed to go here, and this is why I need the press association. Now, if it's hard to, I'm trying to use the right word, but hey, there's traffic out there. Okay, that word. Yeah. We can use that one.
Yeah.
So it's hard to traffic someone who has a birth certificate and is documented like that. What if they're undocumented?
Yeah.
What if they're looking for people who might be undocumented because it's easier to do things with them that we may not allow them to really do, and who would know the difference?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And this is why the push for this, in my humble yet totally accurate opinion, this is why they're doing this, because they need more blood, because they know the rapture is imminent and they need more of their what they think is power. And that's where they think they're going to get it from.
No, you're fine. And what you're experiencing, again, is what Texas has experienced for many, many years. And we used to have a system here in Texas where, you know, you ran across an illegal or something, you reported them, and they were gone. Now it's illegal to do that. And a lot of cities, they'll put you away instead of the other way around. It's crazy. You know, now I'm talking about big cities, obviously, like Dallas and Houston, Fort Worth, San Antonio. But you know, you get out here in normal Texas, and you know, we're not going to tolerate it. I promise you, there's other ways of dealing with that situation that we deal with them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's not the only border problem, David. Let's listen to this one.
A dire public health crisis looms over the U.S.-Mexico border region, particularly in South San Diego County, where billions of gallons of contaminated sewage from Mexico inundate California, according to a recently unveiled report.
Imperial Beach Mayor Paloma Aguirre declares a total state of emergency, emphasizing the imminent public health threat posed by transboundary pollution. She highlights the unacceptable living conditions faced by residents, characterizing the situation as a ticking time bomb demanding urgent attention. Paul Gomez reporting.
So, you know, their trash is adding up. There's no trash collection in some areas because they never had a need for it until now. But anyway, the crisis on the border, I think it's kind of crazy that President Biden removed everything that was working when he became president, and now he's considering putting some of them back in because his poll numbers are in the garbage can.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then say, oh, look, I'm a hero. I did this.
Yeah.
Hey,
I restored Donald Trump's stuff. Okay. Well, what do we need you for then? You know, that's, I think, what the thing is going to be. Anyway, there is a, now we're taping this early. I want to make this clear. We're taping this early, but there is actually a primary going on. I think the polls are closed at this point. It's South Carolina, where the former governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, is in the race against former President Trump. And the last numbers I had was Trump up by 20. That's the latest that I had as of earlier.
Where
this
she
morning.
Was governor.
Yeah. So Nikki Haley, I'm sorry, Rhino. Republicans ain't buying it. Get out and go join the other party. Go join the other team where you belong. That's my
personal. And ironically, no one would even know who she is if it wasn't for Trump.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Then we're going to move on because I told you the United States is at war. And the sooner we figure that out, the better. But we are at war with the Houthis. Let's listen to this.
The U.S. military executed 5 self-defense strikes in areas of Yemen under Houthi control, one of which targeted an unmanned underwater vessel, according to U.S. Central Command.
This incident marked the first observed use of an unmanned underwater vessel by the Houthi forces since the commencement of attacks in the Red Sea region in October. CENTCOM also confirmed self-defense strikes against 3 mobile anti-ship cruise missiles and an unmanned surface vessel. Benjamin Wright reporting.
So we're in a de facto war right now with Yemen. And of course, now they are armed and financed by Iran. And we're still trying to come up with a two-state solution that is, you know, going to be imposed on Israel. That Israel's never going to buy into. So what, you know, where do you see this going, David? The Houthis situation. I mean, they're a small group.
Houthi and the blowfish.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah, I mean, who in their right mind would just not destroy the enemy? Just, you know, it's human rights, this and that. No, they're trying to blow you up and kill you. You need to kill them before they do that. It's just common sense, you know, but all this, you know, this liberal talk, and it's satanic in that it's twisted as well, because Satan wants nothing more than to kill everybody, but then blames you when you want to kill your enemy. So he's using that double speak like he always does. That's why he has a forked tongue, you know? It's the same old story. Just put in it, you know, 20 years ago, you had a different name in there. 10 years ago, you had a different name. Mm-hmm. Today, it's Houthis.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be someone else if we're still here in 10 years.
Yeah, which I don't think we will be. Then we move on to North Korea. North Korea, you know, little Kim, he's still at his stuff, too. You know, he was calmed down. He was calmed down under Donald Trump. He's not anymore.
Looking at events in North Korea today, where over the weekend they celebrated what would have been the 83rd birthday of Kim Jong-il, the late father of Kim Jong-un, now the supreme leader of the country. In recent weeks, Kim has been asserting himself in new and, for South Korea, concerning ways, moving to halt efforts to advance reconciliation efforts with the South, and even threatening to use nuclear weapons if provoked. Carla Ann Robbins is with the U.S. Council on Foreign Relations.
This all started in mid-January, actually, when he declared to his parliament that North Korea was abandoning his father's longstanding objective of peaceful unification with South Korea. He ordered a rewriting of North Korea's constitution to define the South as its most hostile foreign adversary. He ordered the dismantlement of all state agencies responsible for reconciliation with the South. And satellite photos show that the government in late January demolished this 9-story arch of reunification built by his father. In February, he said he had no desire for diplomacy and, as you said, started to beat the nuclear drum. As for what's really going on, you know, some experts warn that the North might actually be getting ready for war. But pretty much everybody else sees this as another bid for attention.
And indeed, there is a long tradition of Kim Jong-un trying to secure global attention whenever it's placed elsewhere.
Okay. Now, I don't know, Little Kim or whatever you want to call him, Rocket Man, whatever you want to call him, you know. Yeah, he's crazy, but he does have nuclear weapons, and he's just crazy enough to use one of them.
Nuclear.
Yeah.
Nuclear. Yeah. I have to practice saying that because we keep saying nuclear, but it's not. It's nuclear. Nuclear.
Okay.
All right. So here's the deal. Rocket Man doesn't really have the capacity to run a country. He was installed there because his father was there.
And his grandfather. They need
this because, South Korea is not a hostile foreign enemy. It's the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they did that with Vietnam. They did that with, you know, Korea. They did that. Mm-hmm. They'll do that with everybody because they need this conflict going on. Because if there's no conflict, there's nobody to come in and control everything.
It's all
peaceful. And this is, just look up Albert Pike and you'll see what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. This is kind of their MO. And then they'll come in with a hero. So if there's any any like possibility of a reconciliation, they'll find some reason to disrupt that.
Yeah.
Because yeah. they need that conflict. And he's just a puppet. Mm-hmm. He, you know, they're just doing what he said. But the reason he was so nice was, and Trump is because they knew that Trump would do something major about it.
Yeah.
Now they know this clown that we have, the clown in chief now, is not going to do anything because they're his a puppet as well. Because Soros bought him out. But Soros bought a whole bunch of radio stations too. I don't know if you noticed.
He's buying none. Okay. all right. Anyway. I want to start answering some of these questions we got, and then we're going to get, but there's more news and some of it you guys really need to hear, but you know, we'll get to that in a little bit, but, I just want to read some of these, David, and then get your impression. Okay.
Let's start with the AI guy.
You want to start with him? I was going to hold him off.
We're going to dismiss that in almost instantly, and then we'll talk some serious talk with the other lady.
Okay. Well, now, we only got this one this morning, so I didn't really have a lot of time to do a lot of detail on it, but David is well-equipped to answer this question very quickly, and so am I, really. But anyway, he says, I'm sorry, but your comments about how AI works and it's intelligent is not correct. AI is not a bunch of if-then-else statements. I work with it. And it does not work that way at all. You speak from a place of ignorance or misleading people. And my question immediately to him is, okay, you're working on this, so that means that you're programming it, right? So they don't need you? Is that what you're saying? That you're done. AI is smart exactly. enough to do your job too. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the fact that he said he's working with it means that it's exactly how we said it was.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, the pot calling the kettle black, because this young gentleman is clearly unlearned, regardless of how he works with it. And, you know, so I'm thinking maybe he works with it because he's on Gab and he uses the AI chatbot to make pictures. That's how he works with it. I don't know. I mean, you could just do a quick search on this. Mm-hmm. Just do the building blocks of AI, okay. and you'll see tons of resources on how it works. And mm-hmm. the short story is, it's 2048 adiabatic quantum computing is what they're shooting for. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because if they get the adiabatic computer, that means it's got to be really, 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 really cold, so there's no resistance, mm-hmm. and they use electrons as switches instead of the things we use now. Started with resistors, and now we got the name escapes me, but the crystals they have in the computers now, mm-hmm. they're all switches, which is just this and that. But if you can use an electron as a switch, you can literally get to the subatomic particle level. And that's what we talked about in some previous shows about Genesis. Mm-hmm. When you get into the, you know, quarks and neurons and all these other things, there's bunches, like 200 different subatomic particles. You literally jump out of the time-space continuum. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Satan can use that to appear to be the Antichrist, okay? He can mm-hmm. kill the guy that he set up and then make him appear to come to life right. in a number of ways. Transhumanism with parts. He can do, you know, a projection. You know, you have Project Blue Beam. We hear about that. But all of it is, it's exactly that. It is a series of if-then-else statements. Mm-hmm. So because it's quantum computing.
Right.
It's all quantum computing. Right. Now, I dare say that it is very powerful, much more powerful than we know, but it still needs an intelligence behind it.
Amen. Yeah.
That's
still needs people. Yeah. Still needs mm-hmm. people. Yeah. So my thing there is, you know, this guy's writing, he's not telling me anything about, he's saying he works with it. Well, okay. My initial question is how do you work with it? Where do you work with it? What's your experience in working with it? What's your education level in working with it? But you're invited. Come on the show. Tell us all about your experience your expertise, and we will listen to you. And then if it makes sense, we'll agree with you. If it doesn't make sense, then we'll tell you.
That's all I can do. You got an open invite.
Yeah.
Come on out and explain everything.
Open invitation.
Or go make your own video, because that's what we do.
Come on with it. Yeah. Okay. Another one here. And this one I want you to comment on, David. This is about Noah. Okay. And he's got the way that he approaches this, he's got Noah, and then he's got in parentheses, the saved. okay? And it said, Noah, the saved, was taken up above the tribulation of destruction and brought back down. Now, what he is referring to there in our previous discussion was the rapture of the church as an example right. of the rapture. And you had stated, no, this is more, it's going through it like the Jewish nation going through a tribulation that is going mm-hmm. to come.
And they were riding on top yeah. of the tribulation.
So,
yeah.
So what I've responded to this guy, and you tell me if I'm right, wrong, or whatever, go into whatever detail you want to. I said, possibly yes, but we see it more as a taken through the turbulence of the sea. In the same way, the Jewish people ultimately accepting Christ will be brought through the tribulation. I said, this is a great point for further study, and that's all I said about it, David. So how do you want to address that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's Steve, and Steve, it's a valid question and, you know, a valid supposition. Mm-hmm. We do what I see in there, though, is since Enoch was before that, and he was actually taken up into heaven, mm-hmm. okay? And that's really what you want to see, because Noah was still on the earth, but he was just floating on top of the tribulation. So he was protected from all the tribulation on earth by floating mm-hmm. on top, but he was still here on earth, not in heaven,
right.
And that is indicative of the Jews. They will be protected, okay, and basically separated from the once Zechariah says two-thirds will be destroyed, but at that point, the third that's left that receive him will be protected, and Israel will be protected through that tribulation. It's a much more comprehensive vantage point to look at it that way, in my opinion. But I understand where you're coming from. But he wasn't really taken up. He was just kind of floating on top of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. up in a sense, he's on top of the water, but not up into the heavens, which is where the rapture will be taking us. You know, we'll go meet Jesus in the sky, and then we'll go to supper.
Right. So, again, we're going to have another show on just the rapture of the church, because, I mean, as David said, you know, once we get into that, it's going to go for a while. You know, this isn't going to be a real quick deal any more than our study of Genesis has been a really quick deal. I mean, we're, what, in the two and a half, three months by now?
We started November 2nd. We're on verse 3.
So, I mean, you know, we go in depth. And again, I would encourage people, you know, if you can get that midweek show, please do. It's a verse by verse comprehensive Bible study with David Paxton. David's got many, many years experience. David, I'll let you tell people how long. I think it's 40 years, something like that, right?
44 years now.
Wow. You know, so anyway, you want to discuss it, well, he'll be happy to discuss it. Okay, yeah. So then...
Well, one thing actually I wanted to discuss is we should put Israel and rapture in all of our titles, because they get all the views.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Put it in every title.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we are struggling to get the YouTube channel to grow. I mean, you know, we got great coverage everywhere else, but we are struggling with YouTube. So if you guys... would please just subscribe to the channel.
You know, even if you want to make fun of us, share it.
Yeah, share it. Make your comments, all that stuff. It's going to help us get the message of Jesus Christ out. This isn't about me and David. This is about getting the message of Jesus Christ out there. Somebody, we hope, that has not accepted Christ yet will, after watching one of these, will pick up a Bible, will listen to the Holy Spirit calling them, and will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the big hope. Got another one here from Skunkted. Skunkted had this to say. So many events took place in Bible history that the world is not large enough to contain all of the events. So I do believe that Enoch was divinely inspired. So I didn't really comment on that one. David, you have a comment for that?
So many... Yeah, I mean, that's a fair analysis, because it's not, I wouldn't say not divinely inspired, but it wouldn't be canon, because right out of the gate in the first chapter, he says this is for those people that are living in the tribulation period so they can understand what's going on.
Okay.
You know, it's for that terminal generation. So
it was inspired for us for them. It was inspired for them, but not necessarily for us, is what you're saying.
Right. So it was for us to examine and see, because it does have all the history there. So whether you think it's divinely inspired or not, it is undoubtedly, you know, history. So because it, you know, it's been beaten up for thousands of years and it's still there. So you got to look at it from that vantage point. Now, granted, some of the translations might be a little bit off, or maybe they added the Book of Noah towards the end. But the point is, the crux of that is valid history that we could look at. So, you know, either way, divinely inspired, not divinely inspired, it doesn't matter. It's something that's there and we can look to for further understanding about what is inspired. And that would be the Bible.
Okay. Amen. I agree with that. Okay. I've got another one here, and these I get all the time, David. Okay. We've talked about this
before.
We've
got 2 minutes.
So. Yeah. The Lord is returning in 2029/30, immediately after the tribulation in the fall feast, most likely the Feast of Trumpets. Make no mistake, the Lord will not return before the great falling away of the church occurs and the third temple is built. So the Antichrist will be able to declare himself as God. And then he will go after the saints for 3.5 years. Watch and pray you're found worthy to be spared from the world, from the worst that is coming upon the face of the earth. And I can tell you, if that's the case, then the rapture can't happen. Not today. And I'm telling you, the rapture can happen today, right now. And there's nothing in the Bible point to it that says the third tribulation has, I mean, the third temple has to be built before the rapture of the church. And you're not going to find it. It's just not there. That's your opinion, but it's not going to happen that way. David?
Yeah, I mean, right out of the gate, when someone says, hey, the Lord's returning on this day, I'm like, okay, you're wrong.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Obviously, it's not that day then, because he says nobody knows. Right. So I could cross it off the calendar. Not today.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And if they say that, it is inevitable that the rest of their statement is mixed up or muddled up somehow. So it's not even worth addressing. But let's take us out and we'll redress this in the beginning of the next half.
Right. So if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet and you do want to be raptured, all you've got to do is say that simple prayer of salvation. Let the Lord know that you're a sinner, that you know Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. He spent 3 days in the tomb. He rose again on the third day. And he is coming back for his church before the Great Tribulation. And if you want to miss it, all you got to do is say that prayer in your own words and in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And if you're that last Christian, then you'll be seeing me and David and every other Christian, living and dead, meeting you in the air. We'll be back right after this short break with the second half of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in New York, I'm Sally Patterson. The United Nations Secretary General has called the war in Ukraine an open wound at the heart of Europe, 2 years after Russia invaded its neighbor. Antonio Guterres addressed foreign ministers who had flown into New York for a series of high-level talks to mark the anniversary. Addressing the UN General Assembly, Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, said his country had been working tirelessly to mobilize international support for its peace plan. Russia maintains it did not start the conflict, blaming the situation on the West's political agenda. Jody Jacobs reports from the United Nations.
With hostilities in Ukraine showing no signs of abating, with an ever-present risk of escalation, the UN General Assembly President hopes that the 2-year anniversary of the war may offer an opportunity for member states to reflect on how the UN can better support diplomatic efforts aimed at finding an end to the conflict. Present at Friday's session was the UK's Foreign Minister David Cameron. He says Ukraine must stay strong, and that the international community must ensure that the territorial integrity of Ukraine is protected. He criticized Russian President Vladimir Putin, saying if he were to eke out some kind of win, the rest of the world would suffer too.
Meanwhile, the United States has announced a raft of new sanctions against Russia. The more than 500 sanctions are aimed at impeding Moscow's war effort, with some targeting people connected to the imprisonment of Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny, who died last Friday. US President Joe Biden blames Russia's President Vladimir Putin for Navalny's death, an accusation the Kremlin denies.
We in the United States are going to continue to ensure that Putin pays the price for his aggression abroad and repression at home.
And Sweden and Hungary's prime ministers have held talks ahead of a vote to ratify Stockholm's membership of NATO. Ulf Kristersson and Viktor Orban met ahead of the crucial vote in Hungary's parliament. Pablo Gutierrez reports from Budapest.
Ulf Kristersson welcomed the deal, adding that despite their differences, Hungary and Sweden can still collaborate in areas of mutual interest. The meeting comes as Budapest prepares to endorse Stockholm's long-awaited accession to the NATO military alliance. Hungary has delayed the ratification for nearly 2 years, insisting on a face-to-face meeting between the two leaders. After the talks, Prime Minister Viktor Orban said Hungary intends to maintain and enhance its air defense capability through the purchase of Swedish jets. Hungary, which maintains a good relationship with Russia, had been the last holdout in approving Sweden's membership. Their ratification on Monday will be the final hurdle for Sweden to clear. Pablo Gutierrez, Budapest.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me from New York City is Mr. David Paxton. David, you are the prophecy expert here. 44 years, I believe you said, of experience. So,
yep.
You know, if people want a challenge, well, okay, bring it. That's about all I can tell you. You know, anyway, yeah. you wanted to get back to this guy's statement one more time. Go ahead.
I did. And just a tiny little caveat. I was 15 years old, and my parents were alcoholics. So, you know, there's a lot of abuse in the house, and I kind of yelled at God and told him, yeah, sure. Why don't you just prove you exist? Because, you know, a real God wouldn't put me in his house with all this abuse, etc. But I was sincere in my heart, even though I was angry with him. Mm-hmm. So he knew, you know, who I was on the inside because he made me.
Right.
So I said, I dare you to prove it. And if you prove it to me, I promise I'll follow you for the rest of your life. But I got to know beyond any wisdom, beyond any knowledge, beyond anything, I have to know. Mm-hmm. He says, well, this is how you'll know. And he said, because who else can tell the future thousands of years before it happens? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even tell what's happening next week.
Right.
Get an idea. Yeah. So he said, okay, well, let's start here. And he opened up the book of Revelation. I cut my teeth on the book of Revelation, and I started studying all these things at 15 years old.
Wow.
So that will give you a clue as to how old I am now.
Wow.
Where most kids are, you know, hey, let's see if we can get high without, you know, our parents knowing and just causing all sorts of chaos. I was like, no, I got to find out what is going on and what, you know, what reality is. So I was all over the gamut for years. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there a rapture? Is there not a rapture? Is it made up? You know, is it a prosperity gospel? Is it, you know, is it the crazy tongues or is it regular tongues or how's this? Everywhere. Because I'm like, all right, here it is. Uh-huh. Some people say this, some people say that, and I dug into it and find out what the word said.
Yep.
And I've been doing that for, like you said, 44 years. So if I don't know what I'm talking about, I'll tell you, oh, I did not study that. Mm-hmm. If I do know, I'm going to tell you what I found out.
Amen.
And yeah, you know, I've been wrong at times over the years, so I'm not afraid to say, hey, I might be wrong. But most of the stuff at this point, I've already tested whether it's wrong or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to this conclusion. So there's probably some things left, but most things, have really been tested out. And this is one of them. We were talking about the Lord is returning in 2930.
Yeah.
With Mr. Gaza. Now, I appreciate the zeal. I mean, who doesn't want to know exactly when he's coming back?
Right.
But I need to point this out. Yes, he may be coming back after the tribulation, but that is with his bride, if
Amen.
You read it correctly.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
because the rapture is we meet him in the air. So technically, he's not coming back to the earth. We come out, we meet him halfway. We studied this on the rapture show where Isaac came down, but Rebecca came out to meet him halfway there.
Right.
So, yeah, if you read that into the verses when he says, hey, he will not return. Yeah, he'll return to the earth. But returning for his bride is a separate event. Some people will call it two parts of the second coming, just like there was two parts of the first coming. He was born as a baby, and we mm-hmm. celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And then we celebrate his ministry and death and resurrection. Mm-hmm. Okay, so essentially there's two parts. He came here, lived his life for 30 some odd years, mm-hmm. and then he became, and it's because you can't be a rabbi until you're 30. So at 30 years old, he started his ministry, 33, mm-hmm. He was crucified. So I kind of view it the same way, because prophecy is esoteric. It kind of just shows you these things, and there's types and patterns. So if he did that before, we can see a similar pattern here, where the end of the age wasn't actually until the destruction of the temple, mm-hmm. both in Jerusalem and in Alexandria. Then that was the end of the age back in 70 AD, and then on into 75 AD, when it finally, the council said, okay, no more sacrifices. Now your sacrifice is good deeds. That mm-hmm. was the end of the age. But that was, mm-hmm. he would have been 75 years old mm-hmm. at that point. Mm-hmm. So there's this time frame, okay, and the Essene calendar actually has us at 2075 is the 6,000th year, and the Essene calendar is extremely accurate if you look back through history. Mm-hmm. So, and that would match up with the 75 AD to the 2075 as mm-hmm. as a time frame. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting study right there. The but there's that transition period, just like a relay race. You don't come and say, okay, here it is.
Right.
You come and in this one, and they run together for a little while, mm-hmm. and then into the next phase. Right. So we're going to see a crossover of the end of the church age with the beginning of the next age. And it's going to be where they're running together for a while. And that's mm-hmm. where I believe we are, right in the middle of that.
I do too.
Be included in some of the events. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Included in some of those events are him, Jesus, coming to get his bride and take us to the supper. Okay. Now the wedding supper, clearly 100% we are in heaven during the tribulation. Because if Amen. You read Revelation chapter 4, John saw a portal opened in heaven, and immediately he was before the throne, mm-hmm. surrounded by the 24 elders. Mm-hmm. Go do a study on the 24 elders. They're kings and priests. That means it's us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And they're representative of the church. So we're in heaven at that point at the wedding supper. And that immediately before the throne is a picture of the rapture. And we're all there. Then the tribulation happens here. We're having supper up here. Then we come back with him when Revelation 19, mm-hmm. you'll see, comes back and, you know, we're wearing nice white linen. It's going to be great. And he destroys the whole world. So Mr. Gaza here is talking about that point. Revelation mm-hmm. 19, where mm-hmm. everything will happen at the end of the tribulation when we come back with Jesus to rule and reign on into the 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. The rapture is a separate event, and there's tons of verses to corroborate this, and we'll get into that on the show too.
Yeah.
Compare the different verses in the air, on the earth, in the air, on the earth, in the air, on the earth.
Okay. Now I've got another one here. I'm going to save it for a little bit. But I've promise that I would read this. This is going to be for Omadas, Omadas. Very, very sincere question. We're going to get into it here in just a few minutes. So hang in there with us. I'll promise you an answer, and I'm going to give you one. Going back very quickly, I want to get the rest of the news out of the way real quick. And there's not much. We need to talk about the Ukraine. We need to talk about Russia, because Russia, I believe, is going to make a big turn here pretty soon, and they're going to head toward Israel. And when that happens, you're looking at the Gog-Magog war. So what mm-hmm. started all this stuff? Well, they don't want to tell you, but I'll tell you right after this. Listen to this one.
And Sweden and Hungary's prime ministers have held talks ahead of a vote to ratify Stockholm's membership of NATO. Ulf Kristersson and Viktor Orban met ahead of the crucial vote in Hungary's parliament. Pablo Gutierrez reports from Budapest.
Ulf Kristersson welcomed the deal, adding that despite their differences, Hungary and Sweden can still collaborate in areas of mutual interest. The meeting comes as Budapest prepares to endorse Stockholm's long-awaited accession to the NATO military alliance. Hungary has delayed the ratification for nearly 2 years, insisting on a face-to-face meeting between the two leaders. After the talks, Prime Minister Viktor Orban said Hungary intends to maintain and enhance its air defense capability through the purchase of Swedish jets. Hungary, which maintains a good relationship with Russia, had been the last holdout in approving Sweden's membership. Their ratification on Monday will be the final hurdle for Sweden to clear. Pablo Gutierrez, Budapest.
So if Russia is okay with it, which it looks like they are, otherwise Hungary would not do this. So, you know, I don't think they're worried about Sweden, but they are worried about the Ukraine.
The United Nations Secretary General has called the war in Ukraine an open wound at the heart of Europe, 2 years after Russia invaded its neighbor. Antonio Guterres addressed foreign ministers who had flown into New York for a series of high-level talks to mark the anniversary. Addressing the UN General Assembly, Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, said his country had been working tirelessly to mobilize international support for its peace plan. Russia maintains it did not start the conflict, blaming the situation on the West's political agenda. Jody Jacobs reports from the United Nations.
With hostilities in Ukraine showing no signs of abating, with an ever-present risk of escalation, the UN General Assembly President hopes that the 2-year anniversary of the war may offer an opportunity for member states to reflect on how the UN can better support diplomatic efforts aimed at finding an end to the conflict. Present at Friday's session was the UK's Foreign Minister David Cameron. He says Ukraine must stay strong and that the international community must ensure that the territorial integrity of Ukraine is protected. He criticized Russian President Vladimir Putin, saying if he were to eke out some kind of win, the rest of the world would suffer too.
Meanwhile, the United States has announced a raft of new sanctions against Russia. The more than 500 sanctions are aimed at impeding Moscow's war effort, with some targeting people connected to the imprisonment of Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny, who died last Friday. US President Joe Biden blames Russia's President Vladimir Putin for Navalny's death, an accusation the Kremlin denies.
We in the United States are going to continue to ensure that Putin pays the price for his aggression abroad and repression at home.
Yeah, okay. Sanctions are working really well so far. Every time we put one on China or North Korea or Iran or somebody else, just beefs it up for Russia. So, you know, it's no loss. I heard the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, the other day, and he is the first, he's the first one that I have heard say Ukraine can't win. So, you know, if he's getting it now, then I think others are going to get it in the future. Right now, we're just throwing money at something that is impossible for a small country with a small population that has to count on everybody else for the armaments they got to defeat a superpower with nuclear weapons and overwhelming military might. I'm sorry, Ukraine, you can't win any way they want to spin it. I'm saying this as a member of the U.S. Press Association, the Ukraine will lose in the end. Get ready for it. Gonna happen no matter how much General Keane, I'm about tired of him. I think he must be just wanting to fight somebody, anybody. Just let us fight somebody. That's how I get
to justify his job.
Yeah. Go ahead, David. What's your comment on this?
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly because they want to launder money. Hello.
Yeah.
And they're using this at the expense of all those lives and the evil and chaos that they did. And, you know, not that, you know, Putin is wonderful, but he's right. This is all started by the West.
Yeah,
you know?
It was.
And so we're going to have all these 10 nations at the end, or 10 kingdoms. So they're going to split everything up. And people think it's going to be, this one world government. Well, there's going to be a one world system in place, they have to have all these different entities that are vying for this in order to have the excuse to come in with a one world government. So we see prophecy is really, you know, it's just gearing up and ramping up that much even faster. You know?
Amen. Well, and for those of you who don't believe that it was the West's fault that this, you have to go back to the Reagan administration. And there was a deal done between the United States and Russia that said that the Ukraine would never be in NATO as a condition for the Berlin Wall coming down. Well, both sides agreed to that. And now the West decides that, no, Ukraine can be a member of NATO. And Russia says, oh, no, That isn't happening. So, yes, the West is to blame for the Ukraine war. Okay? That's just a fact. If you don't believe me, look it up. Okay, now, I wanted to give us plenty of time for this question because she writes this, and listen to this carefully, David, and I'll give you as much time as you need to answer it. She says, sincere question as a Catholic, based on what you said around minute 13, and you would have to go back and look at that particular episode to see the minute 13 mark, but what is the evidence to suggest that the falling away is referring to the Catholic Church? That's straight up question there. She said, my interpretation of this was more modern day falling away from walking with Christ, all Christian denominations, more what we've seen in recent decades with less people associating themselves with any particular religion. In other words, it refers to the rise of secularism. Now, I just said, thanks for the question. I'll have David answer it because it's a long answer. And David, I'll let you take that one apart right now, or not take it apart, but answer it for right now.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to answer that, too, because I want to be careful with this because I don't disparage Catholics because mm-hmm. Catholics are, you know, for the most part, sincere right. in their beliefs. However, the Catholic Church is born out of a mixed kind of relationship with paganism and mm-hmm. Christianity, and it was used over the centuries just to control people. I mean, there was a point where they would burn you at the stake just for translating the Bible, okay? And they would kill people who would try to read it on their own. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of nefarious history in there of just control and money grabbing and stuff like that. Okay. But that doesn't mean the believers are there. That's all there was for, it was mm-hmm. a state run church for, you know, centuries. Mm-hmm. So that's not really the issue. But if you go back and you read in the book of Revelation, there's one of the churches was called Pergamos. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And JD, I know you're familiar with monogamy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And polygamy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Those are words that we have. It's gami, polygamy, and monogamy. Mm-hmm. All right. The word gami refers to marriage. Well, here we have pergami. Mm-hmm. And the original word, the definition of it is a perverted marriage.
Right.
So I can have poly is many marriages, mono mm-hmm. is one marriage, mm-hmm. per is perverted. It's a perverted marriage. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus was talking about. He says the church merged with the pagan stuff, and that happened all through like Constantine. He wanted everyone to get along. Okay. He's like, oh, everyone get along. So let's just mm-hmm. do everything together. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things changed in the church back then, and a lot the original church didn't have buildings and go and meet and all these things. They met in houses,
right?
And then when it got to 12 or so people, they would break that off, and then they go, and that's how they spread so fast, because they just make all these little things, not the way we have the church today. Mm-hmm. And the perverted marriage we can see, because even with all the bishops and the pope and all that, they have that hat. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it goes like this. Why they got that hat? Mm-hmm. Go look up the pagan religion of Dagon. It's the fish god. Okay. Yeah. And the same ones that the Nineveh studied. Okay. They had the fish god. And so that was a big story there. And so the fish hat, they all wore fish hats. All the priests of Dagon wore fish hats. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of the things. Making mm-hmm. confessions to the priest. That was that. You weren't supposed mm-hmm. to do that. Called no man on earth your father, Jesus
right,
said.
Right.
Now they have father in there. A lot of different. You could just look into the background of that, and they mixed the two. Mm-hmm. Now most people don't understand that, so it's not like I'm mad at them for doing it. But if you're doing it thinking it's a salvation issue, no. Also yeah. speaks to the mother of God. So the Immaculate mm-hmm. Conception doesn't refer to Christ. It says Mary was born sinless, and that's just mm-hmm. not the case.
That's not true. Yeah. Not sure.
So you have all these different issues within the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Along the way, okay, this happened is King James, Jimmy, was Scottish, and then he became over England. There's a lot of political chaos there, but he wanted to be head over his own church.
Right.
Okay. So in the Douay Rheims version, it's not falling away. It's translated as the rebellion. Mm-hmm. And the rebellion must come first because the Catholic Church says, oh, Now, when everything was being translated in English, then they even burned Tyndale because he was translating into English. He's like, no, we want to translate in English. So they made the Douay Rheims and said, oh, the rebellion. It was talking about the English church, mm-hmm. the Church of England, rebelling against the Catholic Church. So they put that in there. Oh, the rebellion must come first. Mm-hmm. So King James went, oh, well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the falling away, because the Catholic Church fell away from the true gospel. So I have to get this, the true church. Mm-hmm. So he mm-hmm. made an authorized version. His version, if you read any other version in the church back then, you would get arrested.
Yeah.
So how inspired is that? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Douay Rheims, and the Douay Rheims is the Catholic version. It has the Apocrypha in it. So some of the Church of England say, hey, we still want the Apocrypha. So the original 1611 King James actually has the Apocrypha stuck in between the two testaments.
Okay.
The original one. They don't do it today because they figured it can save money by taking it out when printing costs a lot.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's literally why they did it.
Yeah, okay.
I can sell it for the same price with, you know, 50 less pages or whatever. Mm. It saved me a lot of money. So, but before that, Tyndale, the Geneva Bible, the Bishop's Bible, different ones like that. If you look at the Textus Receptus versions that were being translated into English early on, they all said departing. Apostasia means to depart.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it originally was translated as because they all understood the rapture. So they said the rapture must happen first, then you'll see the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm,
and right. That was the understanding of that verse right there.
Right.
So it's not the falling away. She said, oh, it's, you know, the recent departing from religion, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Mm-hmm, right.
No, that's not even the case. Because if that were the case, back in the first century, they were already falling away.
Mm-hmm.
There was already agnostics. There were already people messing up the scriptures, even back in the first century. So it wouldn't be this big sign that we say, oh, the falling away has to come from. The church has been falling away for 2,000 years.
Amen. Yes.
So
yes.
It doesn't fit the narrative. However, if you look at the narrative, it clearly says in the beginning of that chapter, concerning the coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about the rapture.
Right.
And the whole context of the verse is the rapture. And when you translate it correctly as departing, like they did originally in those first English translations, go look them up.
Yeah.
They're all, you can go to TextusReceptusBibles.com. You can look up all this stuff.
Okay.
And you can see the actual versions and how they translate that as departing. So I don't see it as a falling away. I see it, hey, this is the departing. And they would call it different things. The early church called it a lot of different things. They called it the departing, the removal out of the midst, they would say, out of the midst.
Mm-hmm.
They would call it the harpazo. They had different names. We just use the Latin term in modern English and call it rapture. But right. They all had the same concept.
Amen. Okay, and I want to finish off what David just said with this, and that is that, you know, if you are of the Catholic faith, you can be saved. But if you're praying yourself, if you're going and trying to get your salvation from your local priest, you're going to fall short. That's not going to count. You can't, a priest, a worldly priest cannot save you. They just can't do it. Jesus said that. He says he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes through the Father except through him. So if you are of the Catholic faith, don't put your salvation on the line by just going along with their principles and saying, hey, I'm a good Catholic, I believe in God. Don't do that. Instead, say that prayer of salvation. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know that he spent 3 days in the tomb for me. I know he rose again on the third day for me, just like he said he would. I know he sits at the right hand of the Father. I know he's coming back for his church. I want to be with them. So I promise to follow you all the remaining days of my life in the name of Jesus Christ. If you'll do that, you're saved. You can put it in your own words, then act on that and actually follow him. Don't put your faith in a priest. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the point that I wanted to make, David. And I'm going to finish off this today with, again, the United States, in my opinion, said this now for well over a year, the United States is going to be on the wrong team. And I keep getting these reports. This is Blinken. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken yesterday reversed a policy set by the Trump administration, saying Washington views the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria as inconsistent with international law. He was speaking at a news conference during a trip to Buenos Aires, and Blinken said that the United States was disappointed by Israel's announcement of plans to approve new housing units in Judea and Samaria in response to the shooting attack near Malum Adullam, whatever that is. But anyway, Blinken said that the new construction is counterproductive to reaching an enduring peace, and then added, they're also inconsistent with international law. Our administration maintains a firm opposition to settlement expansion, and in our judgment, this only weakens, does not strengthen, Israel's security. Now, this is revoked the so-called Pompeo Doctrine, which deemed Jewish towns in Judea and Samaria not per se inconsistent with international law. In 2019, then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo implemented the policy, overturning a 1978 memo by State Department legal advisor Herbert Hansel, which characterized settlements as illegal. I'm going to tell you this. It's impossible to have an illegal settlement of something that you already own. And God gave Israel the land back in Genesis, and nobody on the face of this earth, including Mr. Blinken, President Biden, even President Trump, is going to take it away from them. Nobody's going to take away from Israel what God gave them. And if you don't believe that, watch and see. Because it's just that's just a fact. Okay? And I'll stand behind that till the day I die. David?
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting that they think someone actually cares about their opinion.
Yeah.
Who cares what you think? Yeah. I don't care. God doesn't care. Israel doesn't care. Yeah. You're good. You wrote it. Oh, big deal. I don't care.
Everybody's going to care at one time or another. You know?
Yeah, and that's when Jesus comes back, and then there's going to be every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And he's like, oh, you don't agree with me? Great. No rain for you.
Yeah, amen. All right, we do have a conference coming up in Dallas, Texas, April 5th through the 8th. We hope that you guys will join us for that, either in person or online. And David, I'll let you tell people about it real quick.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. HearTheWatchmen.com. HearTheWatchmen.com. Go there and register. You got to use the term Last Christian as one word, Last Christian. You get $10 off the ticket. If you can't make it out to Dallas for some unforeseen reason, I can't figure out why. Anyway, you could get the live stream as well, and you can hang on to those for life. And you can even have like a party, kind of have people come over. You can just use the one live stream. You can have your own little conference right at home, which is a great idea. HearTheWatchmen.com. We will be there. We'll be recording shows. Be able to introduce you to a lot of the speakers, and we're just going to learn an awful lot. It's going to be fun.
Amen. Yeah, it is going to be fun. And as David said, we're going to be there. Well, I'm going to be off in another little area there. I'll be introducing people and interviewing them before they go on stage or as they come off, that kind of thing, promoting a lot of great ministries all over the place. So please join us if you can. I know that physically it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of you guys. I know David is too. But you know, the messages that you're going to hear are messages that you need to hear. So we hope to see you there. We will be back next week, Lord willing, with more episodes of Last Christian. Until then, good night and God bless.